we finally have college football back in theory.
Let's go!
In its entirety for the Pac-12 here, Gambo. Coming up, ASU starts on Thursday in Southern Utah. We're joined right now by Chris Cartman of SunDevilSource.com. Chris, how you been?
I'm great. How are you, fellas?
Good. Good. Excited about this game, just to get the season started. Not this game overall, but just to, you know, get the season started. I want to see what Zach Hill's offense is going to look like. Let's start with the defense. I think that this team, you know, Merlin Robertson came back and Chase Lucas came back. And, you know, they're going to have 10, 11, 12 guys get drafted off this roster. I think it's possible that they could have that many draft picks, especially when you look at how loaded they are on defense. With all of these players coming back, they're so senior-laden on that defense.
Easily one of the best defenses in the time that I've covered or even followed ASU. Totally agree. They will challenge recent records with how many guys end up getting drafted off of this team. I think it'll probably be the most this century at a minimum, especially if they have the type of year that they're capable of. Not just those linebackers, but you look up front, Tyler Johnson's an NFL prospect when he's playing at a high level. You have Evan Fields, I think, is underrated and has a very good chance to be drafted. Jack Jones is one of the better cover corners when everything is working for him. So across the board, really, don't see any weaknesses or flaws. They're going to have to make sure that they stop the run, especially with Jermaine Lole out. That's something I'm looking forward to seeing. And then how those linebackers do in pass coverage and drops and third downs and medium, that kind of thing as well. But they're going to dial it up. I mean, this is I don't think that we're going to see Southern Utah even get into scoring territory in the first half of this game on Thursday.
I hate that blow with them losing Jermaine Lole. I feel bad for the kid, but he's such a dynamic player. That's a tough loss. Let's talk about the offense. There's no N'Keal Harry. There's no Brandon Ayuk right now. They don't have that breakout player at this point. I mean, Ricky Pearsall a little bit last year. You know, you saw him do some nice things. L.B. Bunkley Shelton, a little bit like Kyle Williams. Johnny Wilson, you got a big target there. Really struggled in that first game last year at the Coliseum, but he's got size. Andre Johnson, you got the Utah transfer, and Brian Thompson. What are you looking at right now? Has anybody popped a wide receiver for you so far?
Not enough. I think that's the best way to look at it. You mentioned all of the relevant players here. I think it's going to have to be something that they do by committee overall. Ricky Pearsall and L.B. Bunkley Shelton are the most reliable, I would say. Johnny Wilson has the most big play potential, but also not there yet in terms of every rep, every down, getting the job done. You have guys who can stretch the field, take the top off the defense on the outside, primarily Andre Johnson, Jordan Porter, some of Brian Thompson, as you mentioned, coming in from Utah. I think at a minimum, they have to be able to convert that deep ball opportunity to keep safeties kind of backing off and not let coordinators bring that defense down and really key on what ASU is doing in the run game, which is one of the better elements of any team in the Pac-12.
Talking to Chris Cartman of SunDevilSource.com. Well, let's talk about the run game then, Chris. I mean, it was so limited in what we got to actually see from this team last year, their first year without Eno Benjamin, but Chip Trianum and Rashad White looked amazing, and they were supposed to be amazing, and they were. Do you see more of the same from them this year?
Yeah, I doubt that they're going to average the type of performance that they did last year in four games, right? You had 10.0 yard per carry by Rashad White was first in the NCAA. It's not going to be like that. But I do anticipate that ASU will probably be right around maybe 200 yards per game rushing, first or second probably in the Pac-12. Those guys are very complimentary in what they do. Also look for White to be somebody you can throw the ball to on the perimeter, get him involved in ways that maybe take some of the pressure off of your receivers. They have a third string running back, Daniel Nagata, who's one of the most improved guys on the roster. He was a four-star recruit out of high school. They can even mix him in now in a way that keeps the other guys fresh for the second half of the season. And especially against Southern Utah, people are going to see him pop in this game, I think, because not a lot of people, you know about him, but he's also a really dynamic type of a guy as well. When you have the offensive line that you have, basically four or five returning starters, Henry Hattis looks better than he did last year when he was coming back from a leg injury. I think they're going to enable a lot of potency, and that's what makes Herm Edwards really comfortable, right? That run game, that potent defense, maybe some big play opportunities mixed in, get into some play action with your offense to keep Jaden Daniels feeling good about everything. That's how they can put together a pretty robust offense.
It's tough to take that next step as a quarterback when you only have four games. But in your mind, now that they have a full season in front of them and they've got expectations, what do you need to see from Jaden Daniels as he enters this season?
He's got to turn that command notch up to about 10, right? We know he has ice water in his veins. He can strap a team on his back in the fourth quarter and make winning unannounced plays. But from a series-to-series basis, is he going to have the type of command that's going to allow him to make checks up the line of scrimmage, to get the right play on situationally, to see what defenses are presenting and know how to take advantage of that? That's what I want to see. And then from the pocket, is he going to be able to have the accuracy to pinpoint, locate the ball where it needs to be, threading it through windows, getting it into the intermediate opportunities when you need to move the chains? I think those are the things that operationally, if he's able to do that, it really takes them to a different level.
The running game is interesting. You've got these two dynamic backs, and I even think their third back, Nagata, I think he's really talented too. But the one thing that nobody's really talking about in this offense, the Zach Hill offense, they are going to throw the ball to the running back quite a bit. So they've got, if they don't have the great wide receivers, and maybe one will emerge, but they do have the ability to swing that ball out to these running backs. These guys can all catch it.
Yeah, if you go back and look at what they did at Boise State, it was 40% two tight ends, a ton of passes to the running backs and tight ends when they were capable. Rashad White is the type of guy. We saw it against USC last year. Remember, throw the ball into the flat. He outruns the entire USC defense in the Coliseum. That was a pretty great introduction to major college football. He's got that type of a capability. That's what leads someone to be a national stage type of a player, right? He's probably not going to have 1,500 rushing yards. He may not even be what Eno Benjamin was as a pure rusher, given how deep that they are at that position group. But he's someone that can make a whole bunch of guys miss and look silly coming up with open air in their hands as he runs by them on his way to the end zone.
You know, it's intriguing to me, Chris, is this the size, right? You've got Johnny Wilson at the Z. He's 6'7", and he did have those struggles early last year. But then you got your tight end and Curtis Hodges. He's 6'8". I'm intrigued by the red zone opportunities that may present itself with the size that Arizona State has. I mean, there's not going to be many corners that are going to be able to match up with these guys.
Yeah, ultra rare. And the red zone, running the seam, you have Jalen Conyers, the Oklahoma transfer. He can jump out the gym, and he's shown that he has the ability to be a red zone target. Had two touchdowns against the second team in the maroon and gold scrimmage in the spring. So I think they have multiple weapons. And Zach Hill does a very good job of creatively figuring out how to utilize those guys. We're going to see defensive backs trying to cover Johnny Wilson and just be bouncing off of him in some opportunities when they get into some slants or you throw the corner fade ball, those types of things. I just think that the tight ends overall, they need to show that they're ready for this. Curtis Hodges is someone who I've just been anticipating having the ability to break out for the last couple of years. It hasn't fully developed for him, but you talk to NFL scouts and they're really intrigued coming to practice and watching him and seeing what he could potentially be. The opportunity is there for him and those other guys, but collectively, we have not seen an ASU team have that sort of size, athleticism, dimension in recent years.
Chris Cartman of Sun Devil Source joining us. Chris, my last one for you. Just the talent on this team that you're talking about, I think a lot of ASU fans have been anticipating either last season or now this season. But with everything else going on, like what's the general vibe around this group with the season about to start here in 2 days?
I think it's a bunker mentality. The players really actually love these coaches. They want to go to war for them. They feel like, whether rightly or not, that if they win a lot of games and they're really successful, that has the ability to impact what happens with the staff. and they all came back for a reason. This is the second most number of super seniors of any team in the country. And so they're very mature, they're seasoned, experienced, they're focused on the task at hand. I don't really see too many distractions in them. Obviously, you have coaches that emotionally are going to be split into some different directions right now, but the type of team that they have leads itself to, in my opinion, there being fewer possibilities or instances where they might slack off or be prone to having lapses.
Chris Cartman of SunDevilSource.com. Great stuff as always, man. We'll talk to you throughout the season.
Anytime. Thank you.